أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من أخلص لله أربعين صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
We were discussing the difference between Islam and Iman and in the previous lectures we already talked about the darajat the 10 levels of Iman and I'm not going to go into those details again but what we were discussing in the previous lesson was the distinguishing factors between Islam and Iman and the fact that Islam of a person depends on his basic witnesses If a person has basic witnesses about the Tawheed and the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and the Daruriyatul Deen, the self-evident, necessary teachings of Islam, then this person doesn't deny any of the self-evident rulings of Islam, is called a Muslim. So a person in order to be a Muslim requires to fulfill three things. First is the witness about the oneness of Allah. Second is the witness about the messengership of Rasulullah and sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And third is the fact that he does not deny inkar, does not deny any of the daruriyatul deen, the self-evident necessary teachings of Islam. So this is the basic description in our fiqh about a Muslim person. And whereas the Iman in the hadith which I mentioned in the previous lesson when Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about the Iman an adna ma yakunu bihi al-abdu mu'minan what is the minimum with which a person can be a mu'min and Imam alayhi salam replied that li yashhad an la ilaha illallah وأن محمد رسول الله محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله ويقر له بالطاعة ويعرف إمام زمانه فإذا فعل ذلك فهو مؤمن So a person bears witness about the fact that there is no God worthy of worshipping other than Allah and Prophet is his servant and his messenger and he confesses to obey يُقِرُّ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ He confesses to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَيَعْرِفُ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ, and he has the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the Imam of his time. If a person has this much, he is a mu'min. So in the ta'rif of iman, what is added is ta'at and obedience towards Allah and his messenger, and ta'at and ma'rifat of the Imam of the time. So these are the things that has to be understood. That is why we discussed in the previous lesson that iman is something which is beyond the oral confession of a person through the lisan and the tongue. Iman is something that has to penetrate in the qalb, and when it penetrates in the qalb of a person, that's how the asar of the iman are witnessed in the parts and the limbs of the body. So the parts and the limbs of the body do things which the qalb dictates them. So if you want your parts and limbs of the body to be in your control, there is no way you can control until the qalb is leading the parts and the limbs of our body. So basically, that's the role of iman, to control the parts and the limbs of the body. And it can only happen if iman is in the qalb. So iman is always found in the qalb. So when iman is found in the qalb, our behavior with our actions, behavior and actions with the parts of the body is under the control and supervision of iman. That's why I think I ended my speech here that iman is something which is muqassamun bayn al-a'dha. It's divided on all the parts of the human body. So every part of our body which has taklifun shar'i, Islamic obligation applicable on it, those seven parts of the human body where the Islamic obligations apply have a share of iman. So our eyes have a share of iman, our hands have a share of iman, our feet has a share of iman, and our private parts need to reveal with our actions that they also have to fulfill their obligations towards the iman. Our stomach has a share towards the iman, and our tongue has a share towards iman, and our ears have a share towards iman. So these are the seven parts of the human body which the Islamic obligations, takalif shar'iyya, apply on that, and each of those seven parts have a role to play towards fulfillment of the concept of iman. Now, the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in Al-Kafi, volume 1, says, يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ فِيهِ ثَمَانُ خَصَالٍ. It is appropriate for a mu'min to have eight attributes. وَقُورٌ عِنْدَ الْهَزَاهِزْ. He has viqar in the shada'id, in the various situations of turmoils of his life. He has the viqar that he maintains. Saburun indal bala, he has in the tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exercises sabr and patience and resilience. Shakurun indal raqa, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the time of happiness, in the happy times. Raqa means the happy times, when we are in asaish, convenience, happiness, and away from the hardships. So here we have to be doing the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we already explained in one of the previous classes that shukr is not lisani. Actually, shukr is, in the concept of shukr in Islam is amali. Isn't it right? If you recall, I told you that Quran, when it talks about hamd, it says, قُلْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Say alhamdulillah. The same Quran, when it talks about the shukr, it says, اعملوا Ala Dawooda shukra, do shukr towards Ala Dawood. So shukr is always amali. Yes, we do the shukrun lisani as well, but the actual concept is amali. So we practically show in the times of happy times that we are shakir towards Allah, and qani'un bima razaqahu Allah, and we are qani', have qana'at, where we consider the less to be sufficient, whatever Allah has given us. Even if it may be less, we take it as sufficient and have qana'at on that. La yazlimul a'da, a moment doesn't do zulm over the enemies. That means the mu'min provides his adl towards the enemies. When we interact with the enemies, we behave with the adl. So I remember, see, in the history you find how the mushrikeen of Makkah used to behave with the Muslim soldiers when they used to catch them as captives, how they used to torture the Muslim soldiers throughout the history. What you find today in various wars against Islam, what the disbelievers have done towards Muslims and mu'mineen in various wars, this is nothing new. There's a pattern of behavior of kufr against the Muslims like that. But the Muslim behavior towards them was always based on adl and justice, and torturing even a captive, a soldier of the enemy of kufr is not allowed in Islam. There is no room for us to torture anybody in Islam, and not even the soldiers who were fought in a battle waging war against Islam. Torturing is not part of the Islamic teachings. Instead, the soldiers need to be, the captives need to be given the same food that we eat. We have a whole bunch of rulings in our Sharia how to justfully deal with the captives. There cannot be an emotional behavior that they were the ones who were fighting against us, so we have to, you know, take a revenge from them. No, this is not the way of taking the revenge. In Islam, our behavior towards usara has to be based on justice. وَلَا يَتَحَامَلْ لِلْأَصْدِقَىٰ And a mu'min does not shed away his burden on the neck of his brother. So basically, whatever burdens and responsibilities we carry on our shoulders, we fulfill our obligations, we do it, and do not let the burdens be falling on our friends. These are the 8 attributes. Now, starting from the qalb. Qalb has the most significant role to play. I also mentioned one of the previous speeches, the seven doors of the hell are the same parts of the body that I just counted. These are the 7 doors of the hell. A person can enter into the hell fire through one or more of the 7 doors, which are the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the hands, the stomach, the private parts, and the feet. 7 doors of hell fire. Laha sab'atu abwabin. Quran says, talking about the Jahannam, laha sab'atu abwabin. The hell fire has 7 doors. And this is what our Mufassireen have explained in the tafsir. But, and also the Jannat has 8 doors instead of 7. 7 related to these 7 parts, which we already mentioned. And the 8th door, which is one door extra from the hell, is the door related to the qalb. The qalb of the person is one of the doors of the Jannat and Paradise. So qalb has the most significant role. Like I just said minutes ago, that the parts and limbs of the body are under the control of the qalb. So that's what we need to start with, through the qalb. Qalb in Islam is the home of Iman and controller of all the parts of the body. The belief in Tawheed of Allah and its Sifat is accommodated in the qalb, protected in the qalb, and rooted in the qalb. So we, in the qalb, we need to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and He was not born, nor does He give birth to anybody. He doesn't stand in need of anyone. He is Azali and Abadi and Sarmadi, and all the Sifat al-Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ilm and Qudrat and Hayat and Qayyumiyyah and so on and so forth. All the Sifat al-Zat need to be, and all the rest of the Sifat as well, need to be accepted by the Qalb. And in addition, the Qalb has to play the role towards the Tasleem concept of Islam, submissive towards Allah's command, and Rida concept of Islam, being pleased with all the decisions that Allah makes in our favor. And Ma'rifat of Allah is also related in the qalb, because recognizing Allah is through the qalb, not through the physical eyes. And so So all this is related to the qalb. So when qalb is believing and submissive and obedient, that's where the qalb in the perfect level of obedience reaches the level of itminan and yaqeen, which is the highest levels of the taharat. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 28. It says that we learn in the light of the verse that it's through the remembrance of Allah that the qulub find satisfaction. So satisfaction and peace is only with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So qalb has its share of iman. The next share is towards the lisan. Now let's go to the Holy Quran. Quran says, قُولُوا آمَنَّ بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَإِلَيْكُمْ وَإِلَهُنَا وَإِلَهُكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Say that we have iman on what was revealed on us and revealed on you, and our Lord and your Lord is one, and we are having taslim, submissive towards Him. This is what we are supposed to do towards the lisan. And also in Surah An-Nisa, verse 140, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. So it has been revealed, this hukm of Allah has been already revealed to us in the book, that when you find some people denying, disbelieving in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making and ridiculing and making fun of the ayat of Allah, don't sit with them hatta yakhudhu fi hadithin ghayrihi, until they turn away, switch towards a different conversation. Likewise, so this is the duty of the ear of the person. Another duty of the ears of the person is what is we learn from the light of another verse of Holy Quran, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Give glad tidings and basharat to my servants, those who listen to variety of statements. يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ means listening to variety of statements. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ, and then they follow the best of it. So we are okay to listen to variety of statements, but when it comes to following which path we are supposed to follow, we choose the best of the paths. So this is the job of the ear, to be ready to listen, but when it comes to ittiba, we follow the best only. So the fariza of the share of iman towards the tongue is what we also learn from the light of Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 23, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. So when we talk to people, we learn in the light of the verse, we need to talk nicely to the people. So we already discussed sins of the tongue long time ago, approximately 46 sins or 47 that a person performs through the tongue that needs to be avoided, and having nice talk and nice conversations with the people. The share of iman which is related to our hanging around with the people, sitting around with people, what kind of people we need to be sitting with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, verse 68, says, وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So if shaitan makes you forget, then after you get reminded, after you are reminded, بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى, don't sit after you are reminded, after you recall. In other words, don't sit along with the zalim people. So Obviously, as soon as we discover a person is following in the category of ghalimeen, that's the red line in Quran that we are not supposed to hang around with those kinds of people. And so in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning another duty of our ears. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And this is also related to the ear of a person. So mu'mins certainly got succeeded. Those who are khashi', who have the fear of Allah in their prayers, and those who are keeping away from the lagh. Lagh and in the tafsir, our scholars under this discussion have mentioned that everything that engages us away from Allah's remembrance has to be avoided. Everything that engages us away from Allah's remembrance should be avoided. إِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّهُوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. So when they hear the lahu, they turn away from it, they keep away from it, and say that our amal are for us, your amal are for you. So that's the way we behave towards, you know, people who are having lahu in they're engaged away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, busy in things which keep them away from Allah. So we keep a distance with these kind of people. This is also part of our practical interaction behavior and share and saham of iman, and also related to the ears. That ears, when they hear the lahu, that's how they are supposed to keep a distance away from these people. The feet have their share of iman. Let's go to the Holy Quran. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-Furqan, verse 72, when they walk by, when they come by or walk by and the lahu, they walk by nobly. That means with nobility and karamat. So that's how we are supposed to maintain our karamat and nafs. When we witness a bunch of people who are engaged in lahu, we maintain our karamat and nafs and we walk by, and we don't basically pay attention, we don't hang around with them, we don't sit with them, we don't befriend them, we don't pay attention to them, we don't listen to them. See, hearing is not haram. If you are walking by a shopping mall or something, bunch of people are running musics or any other haram musics or haram songs, obviously the voices are falling in our ears, but that's not haram. What is haram is istima'ul lahu, or istima'ul ghina, you know. That means hearing it with the attention, listening to it. Another duty of walking related to the feet of the person, that's also part of the share of iman that falls in the favor of the feet. This is from Surah Bani Israel, verse 37, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. So we are not supposed to walk. Don't walk on earth with arrogance, you know, istikbar and takabbur, and you know, so this is what we are supposed to avoid in walking. A mu'min's walk has to be in a way that shows his humility and tawadhu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a way of walk like, you know, Fir'aun and Fara'ina and arrogant people. So this is also part when our walking pattern should be modest walking. Even walking very fast is also not appreciated in Islam. Also, I mean, the situations may be different. Sometimes we are in a hurry, we may have to even run. Obviously, it's understandable. But we are talking about in the normal situations. The hadith says that sur'atul mashi yadhhab bi baha'il mu'min. If you are walking fast, you will lose your value and dignity. So a mu'min should have a basically mu'tadil and modest and medium pace of walking. The share of iman that falls in the favor of the eyes. Surah An-Nur, verse 29, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men, they basically turn away their eyes. So we turn down our eyes. We don't look towards non-mahram people. Obviously, there's a lot more than this ayat. We have so many of the ahadith on the same subject. And obviously, when a mujtahid gives the fatwa, he brings into consideration the ayat of Quran plus all the authentic ahadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, which are also idl of Quran in the hadith of Saqalain. That's how my teacher always, when he mentions that, he says, mu'adil and idl of Quran. So Ahlul Bayt are idl of Quran. That means mu'adil and parallel to Quran. So we cannot ignore a parallel. Something which is parallelly mentioned next to the Holy Quran cannot be ignored. It has, so basically the fatwa of the mujtahideen, what it says is that you cannot look towards a non-mahram with lust. And if you happen to look towards somebody, you can only look at the face of the person or the two hands, which is below the wrists. That's how much we can look towards a non-mahram person only. And similarly towards the mu'minat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Surah An-Nur, verse 30. Say to the believing women, so they do the same thing, so keeping our eyes down away from the non-mahram and protecting our private parts. So basically, our behaviors in the light of the fatawa of the maraji is that we can only see at each other only towards the face, which is wajib to wash in wudu, and the hands below the two wrists, nothing more than that, towards non-mahram. And obviously that also in the case where there is no lust or raiba involved. There is one thing in our fit which is called shahwat, which means lust, and there is another thing in the fit which is called raiba. That's another haram in Islam that has to be understood. So shahwat means a person right now currently is looking towards somebody with lust. Whereas raiba means he is not right now looking at somebody with lust, but because him or her looking towards non-mahram, he or she can fall into a haram later on when they go to their homes or wherever else other than the homes. If you can later on fall into a haram because you saw this mahram, non-mahram. At the time you saw, you were not looking with lust, that was allowed. But because you happen to look towards non-mahram, now you will fall into a haram later on. This is what we call raiba. That's also haram. So if we think there is an ihtimal and probability that although I'm not looking towards non-mahram with haram right now, but because of this interaction, I may fall into a haram later on, then I cannot even look towards a non-mahram. So this shahwat and raiba, both concepts need to be clear in our minds. So eyes have a responsibility, a role to play. Also, another role of the eyes. We learn in the light of Surah Bani Israel, verse 36, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Isn't that right? In the time of Imam Rida alayhi salam, this person, one of his followers, he came to the Imam and he said, well, what happened? As a matter of fact, my neighbor, next door neighbor, has singing going on. He brings female maids into his house, and those females, in old days, that was the practice of the fasiqi. They used to bring females servants for singing and dancing in their houses. So he said, my next door neighbor is engaged in this kind of activity. I don't do that, but you know what, the toilet of my house is at the close to the wall of my neighbor. So I went to the toilet and I prolonged my stay in the toilet so that I could listen to the voice of the singing. So Imam alayhi salam was upset when he heard that, and obviously this behavior is not allowed in Islam. There's no doubt about that. But then he started to furnish excuses. This is even the worst, you know. Worst thing is that if you do a wrong and then you try to furnish excuse to basically justify. And then he said to the Imam that, well, I don't do that. It's just somebody else is doing the sin. I was just sitting in my own toilet. I just prolonged my stay there. Imam alayhi salam said to him, go, in other words, and do ghusl and pray. So basically, we need to be very particular. And that's where Imam alayhi salam recited this ayat of Holy Quran, that وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't follow what you don't have the knowledge about. Something that you don't have ilm about it, don't follow. That means we need to follow things after having ilm about it. If you don't know, don't follow. And certainly the hearing and the vision and the heart, all of those things, we are held accountable, we will be asked about it. It's mas'ool, it is accountable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. So eyes have a responsibility that we cannot just see whatever we want to see, but we can see things that we are supposed to see. And that's what my teacher had said in one of his statements, that I really loved that statement. He said, you know, that ahle dunya migoyan ke chashmatun ro bas kuritha bebini. People of this dunya say that open up your eyes so you can see. And ahle ma'na migoyan ke chashmatun ro bebanditha bebini. And those who have the ma'rifat, you know, Ahlul Ma'rifah, they say that shut your eyes so you can see. People of this dunya say open up your eyes so you can see. But Ahlul Ma'rifah say shut your eyes so you can see. That means you have to shut your eyes from so many things that the Ahlul Dunya are seeing, so that your eyes of the soul have the basirat and vision given by Allah, so you can end up seeing things that we are supposed to see. So we have to shut our eyes, with physical eyes, from a lot of things that Ahlul Dunya are seeing, so that we can see through our souls. Beauty of the hands, the share of Iman that falls in the favor of the hands. Obviously, to avoid all the zulm that we do through the hands. Obviously, there is every kind of haram and zulm which is committed by the hands need to be avoided. These hands are like the rest of the parts of the body, a witness from Allah's behalf, and will be speaking against us on the day of judgment. Because Quran has said in Surah Yasin, اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم. Today we are going to see their mouths, and their hands shall speak to us. I did miss one more ayat about walking. I think I have written it on the next page, so it's not bad to mention the ayat of Quran anyways. So let me also mention this ayat of Quran, which is related to our fariza on walking. So in Surah Luqman, verse 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُبْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. So we are supposed to have miyane ravi and i'tidal and modesty in our behavior, and we should lower our voice. Waqbub min sautika, that means lower your voice. We should not be shouting and screaming. That's something that we need to avoid and in our behaviors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the actions, the obediences of the people. The iman of the people is not wasted by Allah. Allah protects us. We are not supposed to waste our iman and our behavior. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 143 is clear, where Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't waste our imans, and because He is obviously having ra'fat and rahmat towards the people. So we are the ones, that's not part of the ayat I'm explaining to you, that we, the humans, are the ones who do things to waste our good deeds and iman, and which causes things which cause the habt of the amal, wastage and dropping of the action. Certain amal cause our good deeds to get dropped and wasted and erased. In Surah Al-Kahf, Surah Al-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ إِيمَانًا. There are munafiqeen who engage in these kinds of behaviors. When a surah is revealed, there are some munafiqeen who say that which one of you gained in his iman, increased in his iman through this ayat of this surah. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Those who have iman, the surah increased in their iman, and they are happy. They are in the happy situation, shadman and kushhal and happy. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Those people who have shak and nifaq in their qalb, those who have marad, shak and nifaq in their qalb, فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَىٰ رِجْسِهِمْ. This surah is going to increase in their khubsu sarira and batin, khibasat and rids of the batin will further increase because of their own, their own behaviors. In other words, because their own shak and nifaq and their own amal. Finally, let's go to the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is from Al-Kafi, volume 3, where the Prophet has said that أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ. Shall I inform you about the mu'min? مَنْ اِعْتَمَنَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. That means a mu'min is a person that the other mu'mineen trust him about their lives and their money, their wealth. So a mu'min has to be having no harm, not only no harm, but protective towards the lives of the other fellow mu'mins, defending their lives and defending their wealth. أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْمُسْلِمِ. Shall I not inform you about who is a Muslim? مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. A Muslim is somebody that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. That means no harm and dharar and harm or any kind of hurtful things can happen from his tongue towards them or from his hand towards them. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَتَرَكَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. A muhajir is the person who quits the sins, the bad deeds, and he leaves what Allah has made haram. So that's the real definition of hijrat and muhajir in Islam. It's not a migrant, it's not the person who migrates from one piece of land to another piece of land. That's not the real definition of hijrat, and the concept of hijrat also is not this in Islam. The concept of hijrat is that we migrate from one piece of land towards another piece of land for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Tawheed, for the sake of propagation of the Kalimatul Haqq. If we are unable to practice our faith and our values in one land, that's where we are, it's wajib on us to migrate to another piece of land where we are able to migrate. That's the fatwa of all the maraji, isn't it right? Everyone has given this fatwa. If you cannot practice your religion on any piece of land, you have to go to a different place or state or country where you can practice. That's the whole concept of hijrat, to avoid the sins, avoid the harams. وَالْمُؤْمِنُ Prophet said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُ حَرَامٌ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَظْلِمَهُ. It's haram on a mu'min to do zulm on another mu'min. أَوْ يَخْذُلَهُ, or to deceive him. أَوْ يَخْتَابَهُ, or to do his ghibat. أَوْ يَدْفَعُهُ دَفْعَةً, or to repel him harsh. If you repel a mu'min away from yourself harshly, that's also not allowed in Islam. You know, this is insult of a mu'min. Obviously, it's haram to do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Inshallah, in the next lesson, we will continue with the next step of our leg of our discussion. We discussed up till the fourth segment of our discussion. That was, remember, if you recall, I told you every travel, including the spiritual travel, sair and suluk in Allah, has 8 steps, and in those, the origin, the final destination, mubda and mumtaha. The masafat, the traveling, and the distance of the travel, and the masir means the track and the route that we need to tread, and the zad and the rahila, the necessary things that we carry with us in the travel, that we stand in need of those things, and the rahila is the vehicle and the means of transportation, and the rafiq, the companion of the trip, and the hadi and the guide of the trip. These are the 8 things that we need. And up till now we discussed, we reached till the number 5. So inshallah we will continue the next and the previous, in the next lesson inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.